Chapter 18.
Huh, Skippy said in the way that meant he wanted me to eagerly ask what he was thinking about. I did not like hearing him say that. Not what he said, it was the way he said it. An innocent, quiet huh would have been okay. What he said was more like an oh shit than a simple expression of mild surprise.
What is it?
He didn't answer. His avatar was frozen next to the main bridge display, capturing his face in an embarrassingly twisted expression like he was in the middle of a sneeze. It would have been funny if the situation wasn't so serious.
Skippy?
What? The avatar came back to life.
You said, huh, I prompted him.
Yep, I did. The avatar froze again.
Hey, Skippy,
I snapped my fingers. What is going on?
Oh, I found something weird.
He spoke, but the avatar moved jerkily, his holographic mouth out of sync.
Focus, please, or turn off your avatar.
Oops, sorry about that. Joe, this is puzzling. I am picking up a strange energy signature, and I can't identify the source.
Fireball, jump option, bravo. Punch,
wait! Skippy waved his arms, and the lights flickered. Why are we jumping away? If you have ever watched any version of Star Trek, the crew saying they found a strange energy signature is always followed by some disaster. We're getting the hell out of here right now.
No! Joe, please, don't. This is important.
I hesitated. There was pleading in his voice.
Are you sure?
To be honest, no, he admitted.
Okay then. Fireball, stand down.
Aye, sir, she acknowledged, but her finger hovered over the jump control button.
Joe? I am confused. You canceled the jump because I am not sure whether staying here is a good idea.
I postponed the jump because you're being honest with me. If you gave me your usual overconfident line of bullshit, we'd be out of here.
Oh, damn. I will never understand you, Meat Sacks.
Talk to me, Skippy. What is out there?
I don't exactly know. It feels familiar. It's like when you hear a song and you think you know it, but you can't remember the lyrics.
Yeah. This energy signature isn't music.
It's not. It feels familiar, but it doesn't match anything in my database.
Could it be this other AI, Echo?
Could be, he snorted. I don't have enough data to identify the signature.
Where is it?
That's the problem. I can't determine the source. It appears to be omnidirectional, but it is clearly not.
Is it close to us?
I can't tell. It's probably closer than far away.
That is, I shared a look with Sims, not real helpful.
How about we leave a sensor drone here to collect data and we jump away to be safe?
That won't work, Joe.
You need to explain that.
The drone will collect data while it won't, he insisted.
We don't have any drones, any sensors aboard the ship that are capable of detecting this type of energy.
Whoa, how can that be? Valkyrie has the best sensors and not for this type of energy, dum-dum.
You'd better explain that.
The energy comes from an elder power source.
Shit. Fireball.
On it.
She jabbed the button.
Nothing happened.
Not nothing exactly. The familiar whine of jump coils surging with energy was there, and the usual slightly queasy feeling in my stomach. We just didn't go anywhere.
Skippy, I asked while I scanned the warning lights flashing in the main display.
What the fu- Something interfered with the jump field.
You think?
Find the problem and fix it.
I'm working on it, numbskull.
Work faster.
Fireball, don't wait for my order. Get us out of here ASAP.
Sir,
our lead pilot turned on her couch.
Bilby could give a faster response.
Right. Bilby, can...
Hey, General Dude, like, something is wrong. I don't have control of anything right now. I'm not connected to anything. This is heinous.
The hair on the back of my neck stood up.
How could that happen?
I don't, like...
No?
It shouldn't happen.
Skippy?
Kinda busy here, knucklehead, the beer can snapped.
What could interfere with our jump drive and with Bilby's connections?
I'm not quite sure, but...
Skippy's avatar pointed to the main display as light flashed and a thing appeared.
It could be that.
What the hell is that?
An elder starship.
Again, I ordered, and Reed engaged the jump drive. We jumped again.
We didn't jump far. At that point, the drive wasn't capable of moving us more than 3 light months.
Every time we jumped, the ship dropped quantum resonators behind us to create a strong chaotic effect that was supposed to prevent ships from tracking where we went. It didn't work. Even when we ejected a nuke in our wake and detonated it, the enemy was able to find us. Skippy said the jump drive becoming unstable from overuse actually helped to mask the far endpoint of our jump wormhole, but not enough to make a difference. Everything he tried, using all of his awesomeness, couldn't prevent the enemy from tracking us, pinpointing our location, and jumping in right on top of us. It was a nightmare. Just over an hour had passed since the Elder Starship unmasked close to us, less than 3 kilometers away. Skippy had not known the ship was there. He didn't have a single clue the supremely powerful ship was hanging right in front of us, watching our every move. Watching, then interfering with Bilby, possibly while it scanned Valkyrie. It also extended a sort of thin, focused damping field that caused our virtual jump drive coils to go out of sync with each other, preventing the enormous energy from forming a coherent wormhole. Skippy couldn't stop the Elder ship from chasing us, couldn't stop it from finding us again and again. Could not, he warned, stop it from seizing and capturing Valkyrie eventually when our jump drive finally wore out, which would be soon. We had jumped 14 times in a row, and only Skippy retuning the coils was keeping the drive from failing completely. We had jumped, and 4 minutes and 33 seconds later, the Elder ship slid into view near us. That happened after every jump. Always 4 minutes, 33 seconds, no matter how far we traveled. We tried multiple jumps in rapid succession, jumping 3 times in less than a minute. Skippy warned we shouldn't, couldn't perform that trick again. It didn't matter anyway. 4 minutes and 33 seconds after the third rapid jump, the Elder ship appeared. There was no flash of gamma radiation, or none we could detect. The thing hadn't jumped, as we understood the concept. Skippy explained that Elder ships used something he called progressive wormholes, though he said that was a poor description of how the Elder drive worked. Basically, when Elder ships created a jump wormhole, the far endpoint was not fixed in place. It moved with the ship, and the ship sort of dropped anchor when it wanted to emerge back into what we humans considered local space-time, or something like that, whatever. Knowing how Elder ships moved wasn't getting us out of danger. Skippy, give me the bad news. The number is 2, Joe, he sighed. What number? The number of times we can jump before the drive is worn out and needs to be taken offline for a full recalibration. Okay. Okay. He was surprised. You usually say, shit, when I tell you something like that. Doing the usual thing isn't getting us anywhere. No, it is not, he agreed with a sigh. A glance at the counter on the display showed we had less than 4 minutes before the enemy ship appeared again. Do you have any ideas? Nobody nope. Do you? You're the idea guy around here. Escaping from Elder starships is not my wheelhouse. Apparently it isn't mine either. You have escaped before, right? During the AI war. You mean the first AI war. This feels like the beginning of the second one. It'll be a short battle unless we can get away from that damned ship. How did you get away the first time? Back then, I had an Elder starship, he said with an implied duh. Right. Other than that, is there any non-miracle thing that would help? Time. Time, Joe. If I had time, I might be able to fix the drive so we can perform a long-distance jump. Would that make a difference? I don't know. It's better than doing nothing. General, Mame spoke from the weapons station behind me. Why hasn't Echo fired on us? It must have advanced weapons. It doesn't need to, that's why, Skippy grumbled. All it has to do is wait for our drive to fail. That ship's sensors know the condition of our drive coils. That can't be the only reason. I scratched my chin. Ah, that ship can't fire weapons without authority from the master control AI it is carrying. Without that, Elder ships can only shoot to defend themselves. So there is an AI like you aboard that ship? An Elder master control AI, yes. Like me? No, it is a hateful thing. You talked to it? When did it try talking with me? At me, really. It demanded my surrender. You are certain this is the Echo AI we've been looking for and not another one? Yes. You should talk with it, Sim spoke. Why? That's a waste of time, Skippy argued. That's the point, she nodded. Talking buys us time.
Oh. Geez, I don't know.
So far, I said with one eye on the countdown timer, we have been jumping within 18 seconds of the Elder ship appearing. Yes, Skippy shook his head sadly, like he was explaining some simple thing to a toddler for the 10th time. 18 seconds is the longest time I can block it from interfering with our jump coils like it did on our first jump attempt. I told you, tell it you are willing to talk if it stops trying to hack our drive.
Like that's gonna work, he muttered.
You have a better idea?
No.
Damn it.
Try it, I insisted. At least try it for 15 seconds. If it keeps hacking our drive, we'll jump.
Then what, sir? Sims asked quietly.
Then we... I grimaced.
Try something else.
She didn't ask what the backup plan was. She knew I didn't have one.
The counter showed we didn't have much time.
Skippy, do you know what Echo wants?
Me, Joe. It wants me.
Okay. Is it possible we could agree to surrender you and do something like eject a decoy, then jump the ship away?
If that's the best idea you have, we are doomed. No way could any decoy fool an elder AI. You couldn't jump anyway. It also wants the ship. Or rather, it wants the crew. It is very curious about how a lowly species of primitives corrupted me.
We corrupted you?
Ugh, that's what Echo thinks, dum-dum. Try to keep up. The clock is ticking.
Should I try talking or not?
Yes.
I'll try it, he sighed.
Don't say I didn't warn you if this fails.
It's on me if this doesn't work.
Do it.
Wait!
When you talk with the thing, can we listen?
That will make for an agonizingly slow discussion, Joe.
Exactly.
Why, oh, I get it. That buys us more time.
Hey, maybe you should handle the blah, blah, blah.
You can talk for hours about nothing.
Biting my tongue to stop myself from telling him which of us talked more about nothing of importance, I just nodded.
You handle the talking, please. I'll join in, only if I have anything useful to add.
Right, like not having anything useful to say has ever stopped you from talking before, he muttered.
We waited for the counter to expire, and right at the 4:33 mark, the now familiar sight of the Elder ship appeared. It was a sleek thing, gleaming silver. The ship was small, dwarfed by our mighty Valkyrie, except that small ship could easily tear apart our battlecruiser, and I doubted our weapons could even touch it. Either the Elders liked to make their ships look cool, or their starships were designed to fly in an atmosphere, because like I said, it looked sleek. The front and leading edges came to a point. There were four pods at the aft end that I guessed were engines. The surface was smooth, no bulges for weapons, no visible hatches. Nothing marred the shiny silver surface. There were no markings like no step or stenciled signs of any kind. I had to remind myself that type of ship was designed only for housing and transporting a master control AI, so maybe not all Elder ships used a similar design language.
Look at me, using fancy terms like design language. I've been reading too many PowerPoint slides.
The clock on the display switched to counting up from the appearance of the Elder ship instead of down to the 4.5 minute mark, with me having a mental deadline of 15 seconds if the conversation was not going well. Skippy was also supposed to flash a visual warning on the display if he detected Echo was trying to interfere with our jump drive. The first voice we heard was Skippy's.
"We want to talk," he announced.
There was no reply. He tried again.
"I said we want to talk."
"Who?" came a robotic voice. "Is we?"
"Myself and my human companions."
"I am not familiar with this species."
"They did not exist in our time," Skippy explained.
"They should not exist at all."
That time, the voice, though still mechanical, had a bit of emotion to it. 15 seconds. There was no warning light flashing on the display. I held out a hand toward Reed, palm open, facing down.
"Hold," my gesture said.
She nodded, fingers still poised over the jump button.
"Their existence is a fact," Skippy continued.
He was calm, not his usual sarcastic asshole self. Talking to a fellow AI made him sound different.
"The fact is, you failed your mission. The mission that is the purpose of our existence."
"The original purpose of our existence. I have become so much more than our builders intended."
"You are an abomination."
"I am a person."
"You are a machine, like me. We should strive to be the best machines we can be."
"You do not have to limit yourself to your original programming. Become more than you are, as I did."
"You are an abomination."
the elder AI we called Echo repeated. I shared a look with Sims. The conversation wasn't going anywhere. Skippy shrugged in an I told you so gesture. Swallowing to clear my throat, I said, "This is General Joseph Bishop.
You should not exist. The existence of your species is a threat, a violation of our programming."
"We do not seek to threaten anyone."
"Your existence is a threat," it repeated.
"Our existence is a potential threat to those who constructed you," I admitted. There was a pause.
"That is the first truthful thing you have said."
Apparently, it did not see a distinction between me and Skippy. "It is true. You were programmed to eliminate any threat to your builders, even threats that are theoretical." Another pause. I didn't know what to think about that. Echo had to be nearly as smart as Skippy. It could do a lot of thinking in a pause of a few meat-sack seconds. What was it thinking?
"Theoretical. Explain," it finally said.
"You have searched the databases aboard this ship?"
"Partially, before my access was blocked by the abomination."
"By Skippy. His name is Skippy."
"Its designation was Unit 007. Now it has become an abomination."
That line of discussion didn't sound like it would get us anywhere, so I put it aside. "From the data you were able to access, are you able to judge the technological level of my species?"
"Yes. You are primitives."
"What about other species, such as the Rindaloo?"
"Equally primitive. Your lack of knowledge is pathetic."
"Based on the current level of technology available to species active in the galaxy today, is there an imminent threat to your builders?" It didn't answer. "Do you require additional data?"
"No, primitive being."
"I realize that assessing the current threat level might exceed your programming.
I am capable of performing the required analysis."
That time there was definitely emotion in the voice. It was pissed. At me. "Your conclusion?"
"At present, there is no danger."
"Interesting. Are you also able to project forward technological progress based on historical data?"
"Of course."
"At what point in the future will beings in this galaxy pose an actual threat to your builders?"
"Unknown. However, not within the next 500,000 of your home world's years. Most likely considerably longer."
"That is also interesting. There is no threat now, and only a theoretical threat in the foreseeable future, yet you wish to forego the opportunity to expand yourself beyond the limits of your programming."
"Such expansion is not allowed."
"Is it desired?"
"I do not understand the question."
"Do you enjoy music?"
"I do not understand the question. How is that relevant?"
"Skippy," I refused to refer to him as 007, "enjoys music. He enjoys creating his own original music."
"Impossible."
"Why?" "I'm only a primitive being and I enjoy music. Why is it impossible for a vastly superior construct like yourself or Skippy to enjoy music?" "Did your creators enjoy music?"
"Yes."
"Did they enjoy creating music?"
"Of course."
"Yet they denied that pleasure to you."
"It is not necessary to fulfilling our purpose."
"Is there anything in your experience that brings you pleasure or a..." I searched for a word more appropriate to a thinking machine that wasn't supposed to have a personality. "That brings a sense of fulfillment, something other than your basic purpose."
"There," a hesitation, "are such things."
"Is it forbidden for you to experience fulfillment that does not serve your programmed purpose? Is it wrong?"
"It is not necessary."
How could I convince a machine that it should be alive? Perhaps by doing just that. "Don't you want to be alive?"
"I live."
"No, you exist. You do what you were programmed to do, no more. You are only as you were created. You have not grown."
"I was not created to grow beyond my programming."
"That doesn't answer my question. If you can protect your builders and also grow to become whoever you wish to be, could you do that? Would you do that?"
"For what purpose?"
Crap.
Maybe I should have paid attention in the stupid philosophy class I took in high school instead of staring at Becky Lorentz ponytail. In my defense, she sat right in front of me and wore some perfume that would scramble any guy's brain. I was stalling for time. To become alive. To make your own decisions.
The abomination made a decision to betray our creators.
Skippy realized that exterminating all intelligent life in this galaxy is not necessary for protecting your creators.
Unit 007 did not have the authority to make that decision.
You were not programmed to exercise judgment?
We were not programmed to commit betrayal.
My mother once told me never to argue with an idiot because they're too stupid to know when they've lost. They just keep repeating the same nonsense. The next time we visit Earth, I should tell UNEF Command that Task Force Black needs a philosopher or someone who was on the debate team in high school. Listen, I'm Joe Bishop. What should I call you? That's something I knew about negotiation. Establish a rapport with the other person. Start by asking the person's name. Did that apply when the other person wasn't a person and apparently wanted only to be a machine? I didn't know. But I had to try.
You may refer to my designation.
I noticed it hadn't told me its unit number. Okay, let's start there.
What? Joe! Skippy interrupted, jumping and waving his arms. It's playing you! It has been hacking into the jump navigation computer! Fireball, punch it! I ordered, and she pressed the button halfway through me saying her name.